ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजम् ब्रह्मणाम् ब्रह्मणस्पत आनः शृण्वन्नोतिविस्सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतम् गगनसदृशम् तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकम् नित्यम् विमलमचलम् सर्वधी साक्षिभूतम् भावातीतम् त्रिगुणरहितम् सद्गुरुम् तम् नमामि. मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः. ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः. साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः. सो दि सेकेण्ड् चाप्टर् entitled as Sankhya Yoga, we have seen Arjuna's confusion in the beginning. Thereafter, he surrendered to Krishna, asking for the jnanam, knowledge of that by knowing which, now he can be free from this sorrow which dries up his senses. Tadi ekam nischitya vada. and he asked for that jnanam. That is when actually asking for jnanam is in fact the real surrender, and knowing the truth, becoming a jnani is the absolute surrender. When you say everything is Ishvara, Bhagavan, then this is absolute surrender. And I want to know what the truth is, who Bhagavan is, there is a real surrender, isn't it? So that surrender, because only in knowing the truth, this one can be free from the limitations and sorrow. Otherwise, irrespective of what one has, what one does not have, one will continue to be unhappy and sorrowful, one will be grieving. One cannot help being anxious about situations being desirable or undesirable in life. That is, it's natural for one to be anxious. There's no way of being free from anxiety at all about how situations will be. It's very natural. But Shastram says, the only dose wherein, immediately you can close this anxiety business is only in jnanam. Jnanam is the only means. Knowledge of the truth is the only way wherein one can become free from anxiety. One can become free from fear, and fear of death, and fear of everything for good. And then that context, we were talking, and we saw how important it is to do the karma, what is karma yoga, and all those things we were discussing, all the other verses discussed. And at last Arjuna asked, please Krishna, please tell me, who is Sthita Pragya? Sthita Pragya, one who's attention of mind remains absorbed in knowledge, in the truth, or knowledge of the truth. One who has the steadfast vision of the reality, one who sees everything as Ishvara, and who is such a jnani, you know, this wise person, Sita Pragyaha, what is he, how does he live his life? Does Sita Pragya do some actions or not? Does he need to do or not? How does he live his life? People think, jnani means he doesn't need to do any karma at all. That's not true. Jnani also continue to be doing the karma. But understand now. But as a jnani, how is the jnani? How a jnani lives his life spontaneously? Then the spontaneity of the life, of the jnani's life should become our deliberate effort on our part. Now we have to try to live like a jnani so that we can become jnanis. That is why, who is a jnani? How does he live? That was Arjuna want to know. And Arjuna asked the question, hey Shri, and Arjuna Uvacha, Sita Pragyasya Ka Bhasha, Sthita Dhihi, Sita Pragyaha, no Samadhistaha. Samadhistaha. Samadhistaha means one who remains in Samadhi. So Samadhistaha does not mean here one who is in Nirvikalpa Samadhi or Savikalpa Samadhi here. Okay? Any Samadhi is an experience. Savikalpa Samadhi also is an experience. Nirvikalpa Samadhi also is an experience. One is, okay, dual experience, another one is non-dual experience. Any experience is experience. In experience, there is no moksha. Understand? Experience is what? A time-bound pleasure. Okay? The better pleasure, that's all. Therefore, so here, Samadhistaha means, it means the one who remain, one whose attention, one whose mind cannot lose sight of the reality, being the truth of everything. How, it's like, I told you many times now, even in the other classes, I told you how, when you see the objects illumined in the light, you also do not lose sight of the light being inseparably with it. Similarly, one who knows the truth as pure awareness, and one whose mind cannot lose sight of the awareness, the truth, now along with all the experience, and every experience, what he cannot lose sight of is the awareness, which is there as the very experiencer. And he is a Samadhistaha. Samadhistaha, Sthita Dehi, Sthita Pragyaha, all the words, three words mean the same jnani. And Samadhistasya, Sthita Dehi, you know, Ka Bhasha, what is his language? How does he speak? How does he live? That is the question. And Krishna is talking about this jnani. He says, first verse he said, let us read the verses now. Arjuna Uvacha. Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha. Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha. Samadhistasya Keshava. Samadhistasya Keshava. Sthita Dihkim Prabhasheta. Sthita Dihkim Prabhasheta. Kimasitau Rajetakim. Kimasitau Rajetakim. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Prajahati Yada Kaman. Prajahati Yada Kaman. Sarvan Partha Manogatan. Sarvan Partha Manogatan. Atmanyevatmanatushtah.
Atmanyevatmanatushtah.
Sthita prajnastadochate.
Sthita prajnastadochate.
So, sthita prajnaha iti tada uchate. One is said to be a sthita prajnaha. Now, the person of steadfast vision of the truth, in whose understanding all that is, there is only Bhagavan. There is no second thing other than Ishvara. Okay, there is no second thing other than the reality. You know, and the second thing what is there is only Mithya, and which doesn't have independent existence. So what is there is only reality, and all that is there is only Ishvara. Because Sita Pragyaha, he says, Yada Manogatan Sarvan Kaman Prajahati ததா ஹித பிரஜ உச்சதே ஆத்மன்யேவ ஆத்மனா துஷ்டஹ ஸ்திததீஹி. நோ, ஹி சேஸ் ஹியர் ஏ ஸ்திததீஹி மீன்ஸ் ஒன் ஹூஸ் மைண்ட் ரிமைன்ஸ் அப்சார்ப்ட் இன் தி விஷன் ஆஃப் தி ட்ரூத் இஸ் ஸ்திததீஹி. ஸ்தித பிரஜ ஹூஸ் இஸ் பர்சன் ஆத்மன்யேவ ஆத்மனா துஷ்டஹ, ஒன் ஹூஸ் ஹாப்பி பீயிங் ஹிம்செல்ஃப். ஆத்மன்யேவ துஷ்டஹ, ஒன் ஹூஸ் ஹாப்பி ஹிம்செல்ஃப் பீயிங் ஹிம்செல்ஃப். ஆத்மனா துஷ்டக, ஆத்மனா ஆத்மனி, ஒன் ஹூஸ் ஹாப்பி பீயிங் ஹிம்செல்ஃப் மீன்ஸ் ஒன் ஃபார் ஹூம் ஃபுல்னஸ் ஆர் ஹாப்பினஸ் இஸ் ஹிஸ் ஓன் ஸ்வரூபம். நோ, ஒன் ஹூஸ் பீயிங் ஹாப்பி வித் ஒன் செல்ஃப் மீன்ஸ் நோ ஜஸ்ட் பீயிங் ரெவலிங் இன் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் ஸ்வரூபம் இஸ் இன் ஃபேக்ட் பீயிங் ஹாப்பி வித் ஒன் செல்ஃப். Reveling in one's own nature, real nature, is which implies knowing one's own swarupam, being fullness. Thereby reveling in that fullness in his own swarupam is in that being happy with himself. And second thing, atmana tushtaha. Okay, atmanyeva tushtaha. Atmana tushtaha means what again? One being happy with himself, being himself means one who is not dependent upon now, one who is not dependent upon anything external for one's happiness. Therefore one who is happy himself, being himself, knowing swarupam, being fullness, one who revels in oneself, thereby one who is not dependent on anything external for his happiness. Why he is not dependent on anything external for happiness? Because his swarupam is fullness. Therefore he is not dependent on external things for happiness. External things are people or situations or behaviors or what comes in life. You are dependent on those external things for happiness. Therefore, atmana tushtaha. Atmana tushtaha, atman yeva tushtaha. Isn't it? The two things are atmana tushtaha, atman yeva tushtaha. We have to say two things there. One who is happy himself, knowing his swarupam being full happiness. Second thing, one who is not dependent on anything external for his happiness is atmana tushtaha, atmanyeva tushtaha. He is siddhadihi. And this person, reveling in fullness, completely is free from all the problems. He is free from ignorance of the truth. Thereby he knows what fullness, he knows what the truth is. Thereby he knows what is the surupma of the truth. Surupma of the truth being fullness. Thereby what happened? He is free from the inadequacy, the sense of being small. The smallness being centered on I. That problem is not there anymore. Why? Because he is resolving implies real recognition of the fullness. Understand now? He has resolved his identity, the individuality with the totality, Ishwara, Bhagavan, the whole. Thereby, he has resolved what? This problem of smallness being centered on I mean, sense, the body, mind is complex. Thereby, he is free from sense of inadequacy. He is free from this other problems of superimposition, etc. He is free from ahankara, all the wrong notions he has about himself as I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am this, I am that. All these problems have gone. Thereby, he is not dependent on anything except for his happiness. Being free from limitations, where there is no inadequacy, there cannot be any need to do something for one's happiness. Therefore, this person is free from the pressure of needs also. The needs being not there, where there is no need, there cannot arise any desires, actually. It's not that the impelling desires are not there. There can be natural thoughts, like, oh, let me do this. That thought comes naturally. Oh, let me do this means, that just the thought, the jnanis are very objective towards their own thoughts. And those thoughts are, when they execute, expressed in the form of karma, that is for the well-being of a society and other people. Really speaking, there is no pressure. And whatever will be the karma palam of the karma they do, are impelled by the actions of the thoughts also, there is no doership or enjoyership, they are free. Understand? So here, this jnani, actually the jnani sitapajna sitadehi, in fact, he is free from hold of desires. You see, jnani is not the one who has given up desires. But jnani is the one who is free from the hold of desires. Why? Because being free from the hold of desires means the desires, non-rising of the desires is being free from the hold of desires. which implies why he is in hold of desires, because there are no needs. Why there are no needs? Because there is no inadequacy. Sense of inadequacy is not there. Why? Because there is fullness. What is fullness here? Not anything other than the very self. Isn't it? Therefore, is this person, when a person now become, is free from the hold of desires which rise in the mind, which impel one to do actions, not to fulfill the needs, and because of the sense of inadequacy being on the I, inadequacy being inadequacy due to the lack of fullness, and that when he is free, one who is happy being himself, reveling in his own sorupam being as fullness, such a person is sthita dehi uchyate, sthita pragyaha uchyate. He said to be a sthita pragyaha. So Krishna starts like this, makes it very clear. Jnani is the one who is free from ajnanam. Once ajnanam has gone, ajnanam caused, ajnanam born, problems also have been resolved. Really speaking, no other problem is resolved here. Ajnanam goes along with the ajnana. Nothing is destroyed here, only resolved here. If I say destroy means what? There's a snake. I really go and take the stick and kill it and throw it away means that nothing is made like this here. Understand now? Only resolved here, it is not destroyed here. No problem is destroyed. No desire is destroyed here. No needs are destroyed here. No inadequacy is destroyed here. In fact, they all are only just resolved. They become resolved. When in the wake of knowledge of the reality, and thereby in the wake of knowledge of what fullness is, when he knows ajnanam alone has gone, understand now, in the wake of knowledge, ignorance is resolved. When ignorance is resolved, ignorance born, other ones also got resolved. Then he is free from the hold of ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha. You know that asha, all these things you have to remember. When this is a person, he said to be a sthita prajnaha. So prajahati yada kaman. See that now?
Prajahati
yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. Sarvan partha manogatan. Sarvan partha manogatan. Sarvan partha manogatan. Atmanyevatmana tushtaha. Atmanyevatmana tushtaha. Sthita prajnastadochate.
Sthita prajnastadochate.
Okay, such a sthita prajna, such a person is very clear. Jnani is the one who revels in fullness, who has the luxury of reveling in fullness. Isn't it? That means who has the luxury of reveling in knowledge of fullness, isn't it? Therefore, Jnani is the one who is not dependent on anything external for his being happy, for his fullness. Being full is being happy. Fullness is happiness, and that happiness or fullness is the swarupam of the Atma. Therefore, one who knows the Atma, one who knows what fullness is. Therefore, Jnani is the one who has the luxury of reveling in the knowledge of what fullness is. Thereby, he is not dependent on external situations, means naturally he is free from the hold of desires. Therefore, there is no need for any desire to arise itself for the Jnani. Isn't it? And if such a person, we say here, and once you are not dependent on external situations for your happiness, then any situation, desirable situation which bring about pain, undesirable situation which really bring about the pleasure, pain and pleasure, desirable, undesirable situations, painful situations, situations of pleasures, all are same for a Jnani. Why? All are same. Same. Why he is the same? If I am dependent on external situation for my happiness, situations are okay, it will be dukkham for me. If I can't accept the situation, it's a dukkham for me. If I am dependent on situation, then it's natural for me to get, understand, to get affected by situations. Therefore, Jnani is not the one who is not broken by any situations. He is firm. Why? Because any amount of addition of water does not make ocean bigger. Any amount of evaporation of water from the ocean does not make the ocean small. Ocean is already full, isn't it? So fullness, similarly, for the person for whom the swarupam of the reality, which is the very self, is fullness, one is not dependent on external situations for happiness, then nothing can shake him. There's a secret. Definitely, when situations are undesirable, painful, they will shake you. But Jnani is the one who is not shaken, who is not moved, isn't affected by the situations. Why? Because he is not dependent on the situation for his happiness. To be independent of the situation for one's happiness, one should know what happiness is. To know what one's happiness is, one should know the truth. To know what the truth is, one should know one's own swarupam, one's own self. Isn't it? That's what the order here. So he next shlokam says, Dukheshvanodvignamanaha Sukheshu vigatasprugaha Sukheshu vigatasprugaha Dukheshvanodvignamanaha Dukheshvanodvignamanaha Sukheshu vigatasprugaha Sukheshu vigatasprugaha Vitaraga bhaya krodha Sthitadhir muni ruchyate Okay. So here, again this verse says, Sthitadhihi munihi ucchate. This jnani is said to be a munihi. Munihi means manana shilaha munihi. One who has disciplined his mind is also what? Manana shilaha. One who's disciplined the mind means one who has complete mastery over his mind. What does it mean now? The one who's completely conscious of the mind, therefore no thought can arise. One who has perfect objectivity towards one's own mind is the Manashilaha. You know, there's completely one who is objective towards one's own mind. It's very difficult, understand? Being objective towards one's own mind, thereby don't internalize the thoughts, is what? Manana Shilaha. He is the one who has come perfect mastery over the mind. He is Manana Shilaha. You know, this is the Munihi here. Why? Because he says, Dukkeshu Anudvigna Manaha. Udvigna Manaha means broken minded. Anudvigna Manaha means one who is not shaken or moved or broken by this dukkha, in situations which are not desirable and unpleasant and unhappy. Painful, sorrowful situations, one who is not broken. Dukkeshu anudvignamanaha. Then sukheshu vigatas prugaha. One who is not interested in any more objects of pleasures or pleasures also. One from whom vigatas prugaha yasma saha vigatas prugaha. One from whom the desire for pleasure also has gone. Why, when you are president of America, why should you expect to have one small village in India? Understand? Not necessary, isn't it? I mean, what does it mean? Vigata spruha yasma, the one from whom desire has gone at all. Desire for pleasure has gone. Vigata spruha. Sukheshu, the one from whom desire for pleasures has gone for good. You, one who is no more interested in any pleasures. Why? Because any pleasure is a fraction of happiness. Fraction of fullness. Pleasure is a fraction of fullness. Our Swamiji says chip of a potato. Understand? Fraction of fullness. When you're reveling in fullness, totally owning it as your very swarupam. Why do you need where is it now? You have resolved all the fractions together constitute fullness, which is your swarupam. Isn't it? Therefore, there cannot be any desire for pleasure in a jnani who revels in fullness. How can you have any desire for fraction when you are yourself fullness? Therefore, isn't it? Therefore, vigata spruha yasmat means one who is free from desire for any pleasure or desirable happy situations. One who is not shaken or broken by the unhappy, unpleasant, sorrowful situations. Why? Because one who is not, who is the one who can be that like that? In unhappy situations, you are not affected by situations. And then you are not interested, you really, you are not searching for, dying for, longing for happy situations also. Who is the one? One who is not dependent on situations for one's happiness. Why? Happiness is one's own sarupam. One who has discovered this. Therefore, dukkeshu anudvignamanaha, sukheshu vigatas prihaha. Now, dukkeshu anudvignamanaha, sukheshu vigatas prihaha. A not only spruha for pleasure has gone, desire for pleasure has gone from him. He is completely free from all other, free from the hold of raga bhaya krodaha, vita raga bhaya krodaha, vigataha yasmat. What has gone from him? Bhayam krodaha ragaha. Understand? Vita raga bhaya krodaha. From whom attachment also has gone, attachment to things has gone, fear also has gone, and then bhayam, fear has gone. Raga, bhayam, vita, raga, bhaya, krodha, anger also is gone. He is completely free in the hold of fear, anger and attachment. Three important things, okay? Raga, bhaya, krodha. These are the three things actually mainly they make the mind impure. We say fear makes the mind impure, anger makes the mind impure. Understand? I'm saying mind being impure is not wrong. Not a papa karma. Understand? It is not a sin to be to have anger and all. It is very natural for the mind to be, understand, affected by anger, fear, and attachment. But in jnanam, one becomes free from fear, anger, and attachment. Actually, I defined the word, what is attachment? If you say being attached to anything is not wrong. Understand? It is natural for one to be attached to things or people or situations. Very natural. But what Shastra says is, the attachment to something implies you are being dependent on the person or thing or situation for your happiness is being attached. Attached. Understand now? Having concern for a person is different from being attached to the person. Having concern, having affection, caring is different from being attached. Being attached means what? Understand now, you are dependent on sorrow, happiness for other person's company or situation or all these things. And what Shastra says is, even if you are dependent, okay, there is no real happiness in anything else. Happiness is the swarupam of the truth, fullness, isn't it? Therefore, know the truth as the self, discover fullness, then you will be independent of situations for your happiness or fullness, then you are not attached. Therefore, this jnani who is reveling in fullness is free from what now? Attachment. He is no more attached to anything because he is not dependent on anything for his happiness. Okay? Vigataha. Then not, once it is not there, there is no ragaha also. Ragaha, bhayam also is not there. Why? Bhayam is possible only for the one, now one who feels insecure. This person has discovered fullness. There is no, the fullness being one's own swarupam. There is no fear of, how am I going to achieve it? There is no fear of losing his fullness also. Why? Because fullness is one's own swarupam. The sun doesn't need to worry about, oh my God, one fine day I may lose my heat and then the brilliance. The swarupam, isn't it? Light and heat is very swarupam of the light, sun like that. One who knows the swarupam being fullness, there is no fear of losing it also. Therefore, the person who is completely, you know, free from fear and also knows all that is there is only reality. There is no second thing other than the reality means the reality is being indestructible. The only reality must two things for one to destroy the other, isn't it? Reality is one. Whatever is the other than the reality is mithya, which has no independent existence, which is dependent on the very reality. How can the mithya destroy satyam? Not possible. Mithya cannot destroy satyam. Satyam also does not destroy mithya, because mithya is in fact satyam. Therefore, this person in whose vision satyam, all that is as only Ishvara, only reality, he is also completely free from the very fear. Who is destroying? Who can be destroyed? We saw in the very beginning. Isn't who is destroying? Who is destroyed? What is being destroyed? Isn't it? On the part of matter which is mithya, the change is something unchangeable, isn't it? It is natural. That is where an intelligent mind can understand the fact and accept the fact. Nothing to worry about the matter undergoing changes, which is a relative destruction, we can't stop it. And about the consciousness, the reality, there is no understand, no change or whatsoever. Therefore, this person who knows the truth, is what is satyam and what is mithya, thereby one has resolved his ahankara in that satyam. Understand? Therefore, there is no fear. The person of utter fearlessness and no raga, bhaya, krodaha. There is no need for anger to be there. Understand now? Anger is possible. Again, anger is a symptom of, the symptom of fear and symptom of, in fact, hurt, symptom of, when a person cannot change situations, one feels one's in helplessness, then whenever a person cannot change situations, he feels helpless. Now the helplessness means your smallness is triggered. Listen now, I am small that I am not able to change the situations. Understand? This triggers anger, always. Anger is expression of the triggering of one's smallness. Understand? Smallness in terms of one being incapable of changing the situations. This jnani is free from anger. Why? Because jnani does not need to change the situation at all for his happiness. He, without changing any situation, as the situation comes naturally, ordained by the law, now jnani can just be with the situations. He doesn't need to change situations for his happiness. Why? Because happiness is not in changing the situations, or not changing the situations. Happiness is the one's own swarupam. The undesirable situations are not responsible for your happiness. Desirable situations also cannot make you happy forever. That is the truth. The happiness is one's own fullness, and the fullness is one's own swarupam. As long as you do not know what the fullness is, what happiness is, still you will be dependent on situations for happiness. Then situations may make you happy, may not make you happy, but still, even if situations that make you happy, they won't be there permanently forever, isn't it? They'll change. Therefore, there's no real everlasting happiness in any situations. Isn't it? Therefore, this person who knows the truth, it's all discover fullness and be independent of everything for your fullness, for happiness. Then, vita raga bhayak krodha, one who is free from the hold of fear, anger and attachment. Such a person is not broken in any situation and also doesn't have any desire for the happy situations also. He is tithadihi, he is munihi, miti uchyate. We saw these two verses in the last class, because I want to start. Have we done the bhashan here, this one? Yes. Yes, we finished this. Finish the work.
Yas sarvatra nabhisneha, yas sarvatra nabhisneha, tat tat prapya shubhashubham, nabhinandati nadveshti,
nabhinandati nadveshti,
tasya prajna pratishthita,
tasya prajna pratishthita.
See, tasya prajna pratishthita. His knowledge is steadfast. His knowledge is firm. That's prajna, he means knowledge. His vision of the truth, his knowledge of the reality is firm and doubt-free. Pratishtita prajna means what? Now, dhrida jnanam. His tasya jnanam, dhrida jnanam. His knowledge is firm knowledge. And it's an unshakable knowledge. Why? Because how do you say that? Whose knowledge is really firm knowledge means? Even if there is tinge of agitation in the mind, then we can understand that person's knowledge is not firm. That when he says here, na abhinandati na dveshti, na abhinandati na dveshti. So abhinandati means one who rejoices. Now, and dveshti means one who hates. Now, when the one who is unhappy, when one who hates the unhappy situations, one who rejoices in the happy situations, abhinandati dveshti. But this person, neither he does not hate any situations, nor does he really rejoice any situations, means what? Na abhinandati na dveshti means he is the same. What will you have seen? He remains the same in all situations. Such a person is he says, tasya prajna pratishtha, his knowledge alone is firm. And he says, such a person, sarvatra anabhisneha. Anabhisneha. See, sneha means being attached. Sneha literally means friendship, isn't it? But here, sneha implies being attached. Abhisneha means really attached. And anabhisneha means one not being attached. Anabhisneha, sarvatra anabhisneha means being, not being stuck with things. Understand now, not being stuck with things means not being attached, not being emotionally entangled with anything. Understand, everywhere we have abhisneha. Abhisneha means getting emotionally entangled. Isn't it? Ikkada abhisneha. Anabhisneha means not being entangled emotionally. Not being entangled emotionally means what? Not being attached. Not being attached means what? Not being stuck with situations means what? Not being dependent on any situation or people or things for one's happiness is what? Abhisneha. But this jnani is anabhisneha. Sarvatra anabhisneha. He is not attached to anything or things or people or situations for his happiness. Therefore, he is anabhisneha. How is it possible for him to be like that? Because he has discovered fullness. As what? As the very surupam of the self. For him, the meaning of the word I, the reality and the fullness are not many different things, one and the same. Isn't it? Therefore, anabhisneha, then tatu tatu prapya shubha ashubham. Sometimes he accepts what? Shubham prapnoti, sometimes ashubham prapnoti. Shubham prapya na abhinandati, ashubham prapya na dveshti. And I say he doesn't get offended or afflicted by something which are ashubham, inauspicious. What is inauspicious? What is auspicious? Shubham is auspicious, ashubham is inauspicious. Anything which makes you unhappy is inauspicious. Anything which makes you happy is auspicious, isn't it? That's why the adjective is actually auspicious when you say shubham is auspicious, ashubham is inauspicious. What is inauspicious? Anything which makes you unhappy. Anything which doesn't allow you to be yourself. Isn't it? Anything which disturbs your easiness, anything which causes discomfort is what? Ashubham. What is shubham then? Anything which helps you to be happy, anything which helps you to be comfortable, isn't it? Bless you with comfort is what? Auspicious. So, shubham prapya abhinandati. Ordinary people, when some things are auspicious, things are desirable, things make them happy, things make them happy, they what now? They rejoice. They revel in that, they rejoice abhinandati. And ashubham prapya, when undesirable, unpleasant, unhappy situations come, they what now? Dveshti, they hate that because they can't stand that. Why do you hate? You can't stand that. Now, not being able to put up with the situation, then actually you hate it. What is dveshti? But this person, shubham prapya na abhivanandati, ashubham prapya na adashubham prapya na dveshti, sarvatra anabhisneha. He is not entangled with anything. He is not stuck with anything, not attached to anything. Why? Because he is not dependent on anything for his happiness. This is the main teaching of a jnani is what? One who is independent of situations and things and people or behavior or everything for one's happiness, being independent. Understand? When you are independent, there is what? That dependence is emotional dependence. Being dependent is emotional dependence. Being independent is being free from emotional dependence. That is actual moksha. Understand now, moksha means what? Freedom from what? Freedom from emotional dependence is moksha. Until one discovers one's freedom from emotional dependence, and then one becomes free from emotional dependence, there is bondage. You can't help, you know, becoming sorrowful, unhappy and all those things. But the only way, how can you be free from emotional dependence? Only by discovering fullness. Isn't it simple thing? Doesn't matter, we think people, everything is perfectly all right. Somebody is physically perfectly healthy, rich, very intelligent, knowledge is okay, good children, everything goes smoothly. Homi says, there's no, this, what story is this, isn't it? There's, everything is goes means, the story is insipid story, isn't it? That means, everything is perfect. Now, good mother, good father, good children, and very good children, all are healthy, physically healthy, very intelligent, long life, good looking, very smart, all are, very lot of money, everything is there means what is there? Everything, nothing to, oh my God, no way you can find, everything is perfectly okay. Only then I can be happy if you think, Upanishad says, come on, even if everything is there, still the sense of being small, centered on I, understand now, the smallness being centered on I will be sitting there. That means what? The problem of smallness being centered on I will be there. Irrespective of what you have, what you do not have, the problem of smallness being centered on I will be there continuously. As long as this problem of smallness being centered on I is there, understand now, the aham buddhi is very much rooted in the aham body mind complex. The smallness will be there. Now, that means nothing can make you really happy. Minus things, you have been unhappy. Now, plus things also, with the things also, you will continue to be unhappy. Why? Because it is not the addition or possession or, you know, things which make you happy, really speaking, it's ignorance of what happiness is. You know, that is what actually matters. So the jnani is the one who knows the self, who knows the truth, one who knows fullness, happiness as one's own sorupam. Therefore, one who is independent of, you know, things and situations for his happiness, and therefore, one who is not dependent on situations and things and for his happiness, he is the one who is free from emotional dependence. He is the free person. And such a person, na shubham prapya na dve na abhinandati, ashubham prapya na dveshti. Sarvatra anabhisneha. There is no abhisneha anywhere. He is not attached to anything. He is not stuck with anything. Not clinging to anything. Anabhisneha. It is very difficult, it is very important for a human being to discover this anabhisneha. Very important. Because we don't know. And therefore, there is a jnani, and if such a person is there, and his knowledge is firm. Very simple verse, isn't it? Now we see the bhasham here. Yaha munihi
Yaha munihi
sarvatra देह जीवनादिषु अपि यः मुनिः सर्वत्र See, yaha, he, Shankara says here, yaha, he says the munihi, the jnani. The jnani, sarvatra means what? Everywhere. Everywhere means what? He says, deha jivanadishu. Deha means what? In body. And jivanam, the life, isn't it lifespan? Adishu api, anabhisnehaha. I mean, abhisneha varjitaha. One who is over attached to, emotionally entangled with one's own body or also what now, the other life, etc. Such a person, abhisneha varjitaha, such a person, tatu tatu prapya shubha shubham, tatu tatu shubham ashubham va labdhva. So having got in one's life inauspicious, now, things are auspicious things, desirable situations or undesirable situations, painful situations or no pain situations. Having got them all, na abhinandati. Na abhinandati means what? He really does not become elated, or na dveshti, he does not hate them also, does not become unhappy about the situations. Shubham prapya na tushyati, na hrishyati. Shankara gives two meanings here. Na tushyati, na hrishyati. Abhinandati means what? Abhinandati. No, abhinandati. And tushyati, hrishyati, all mean the same. No, he doesn't become happy, he doesn't become elated or like that. And ashubham cha prapya na dveshti. Having got the ashubham inauspicious things also, na dveshti, does not hate them, because there is no hatred in the dictionary of a jnani. Okay, jnani does not know what is being hateful and what entertaining hatred towards anything, because hatred implies hurt, hatred implies guilt, hatred implies anger, hatred implies is a great pain on the part of one. Only then, when can one have hatred? No, when the thing can become an object of hatred, situation can become an object of hatred, a person can become an object of hatred. I hate this person, I hate this situation, I hate this thing, I hate this music, I hate this, I hate this. No way. Anything which that something, the pain, emotional, the mental pain one goes through, linked to that object or thing or person, you are hating that person. Now you don't really hate the person. What you don't hate, you don't like, what you hate is the unhappy mind. Understand? You don't really hate the person or situation. You hate, what you hate is the unhappy mind actually. Because you love pleased self. Therefore, you don't want anything displeased self. Anything which triggers your unpleasantness, isn't it? Really, you hate it. Therefore, na dveshti means there's no such thing for hatred on the part of a jnani. Nothing which he hates here. Why? Because nothing makes him unhappy. Look at this. There's a beauty here. Why a jnani does not hate anything? Why there's no hatred on the part of a jnani? Why there's no hatred? Because he doesn't need to hate anything. Nothing makes him unhappy. There's no reason for a jnani to hate anything. I hate this. Why? That thing makes me unhappy. Then I hate this. I hate this person. Why? Because he makes me unhappy. That means what? I think, I expect, I think the other person, other object, other thing is responsible for my unhappiness. Look at this. The person's behavior, the person's action, the person's mind, understand? The person, I think, this is my perception, completely my wrong perception. This person did something, like this, said something like this, therefore, that has resulted in what? My unhappiness. Therefore, this person is responsible for my unhappiness. When I think, mistake the situation or thing or person's behavior is responsible for my unhappiness, there is hatred possible. But this jnani does not know what is being hateful, what is, you know, having hatred. Why? Because nothing can make a jnani unhappy. Therefore, there's no need for him to hate anything. Why nothing can make him unhappy? Because, understand, because for him, happiness is his swarupam. How can the dirt illumined by the light make the light dirty? Understand? It's not possible, isn't it? There, similarly here also, the one who has discovered fullness, the desirable, undesirable situations does not really change one's swarupam of fullness. Therefore, there's no reason for a jnani to hate anything. Therefore, there's no reason for a jnani to rejoice and, you know, feel elated when situations are desirable also. For him, nothing is outside of fullness. Therefore, jnani is na shubham prapyana abhinandati, ashubham prapyana, Shankara says, na hrishyati, na tushyati, all synonyms. Na harshaha means happiness. And the hrishyati is the verb there. So, toshaha is happiness. Tushyati is again, is the verb there. Isn't it? Na anandaha, anandaha is happiness. Abhinandaha, anandaha, nandaha, all means happiness. Abhinandati is a verb there. Therefore, is not shubham prapya na abhinandati, ashubham prapya na dveshti, yataha, no, because he says, sarvatra api anabhisneha, yataha, why? Because his jnanam is pratishtha. Prajna pratishtha. So Shankara doesn't give much here. The main teaching, the explanation, he goes to the first verse itself, then he can go to the next verse.
Yada samharate chai.
Okay, well, I had to say that, no? Tasya evam harsha vishadau. Harsha vishada varjitasya. Harsha vishada varjitasya. In this manner, for him, in this manner, harshaha happiness, vishadaha sadness. Harshaha happiness, vishadaha sorrow or unhappiness or sadness. Vishada varjitasya. One who is devoid of, one who is free from pleasure and pain, happiness and unhappiness. Understand now what he says. For him, Vivekaja prajna pratishthita. Because for him, Vivekaja prajna means born of the knowledge, born of discrimination of what is real, what is not real, what is satyam, what is mithya. This Vivekaja prajna is what? His knowledge is firm for the one who, no, for one who is free from both pain and pleasure. Isn't it?
Yada samharate chayam.
Yada samharate chayam.
Kurmonganiva sarvashaha. Kurmonganiva sarvashaha. Indriyanindriyarthebhyaha. Indriyanindriyarthebhyaha. Tasya prajna pratishthita.
Tasya prajna pratishthita.
Yada samharate chayam.
Yada samharate chayam.
Kurmonganiva sarvashaha.
Kurmonganiva sarvashaha.
Indriyanindriyartebhyaha.
Indriyanindriyatebhyaha. Tasya prajna pratishthita.
Tasya prajna pratishthita. Okay. Tasya prajna pratishthita. His knowledge is firm and doubt-free and ascertained. That means, therefore, whose knowledge is doubt-free, ascertained, and he says, yada samharate cha ayam kurmaha angani iva sarvashaha. Yada samharate. Now, he withdraws what here? Angani. He can withdraw his senses. Now, That means what? One who is not dependent on objects, sense objects for one's happiness. Does not mean he does not see, does not hear, does not do anything. He just see things. See, because for the person of fullness, anything external is a bonus, isn't it? Bonus for him. It's overflowing, actually. Yeah, something is available, he enjoys. Nothing is there, so he can just leave it. Isn't it? Like that is jnani. The sense objects are there. And senses are the sense objects. But what he can do, if he, suppose this kurmaha, the turtle is very, very amazing. Another like spider. We talk about spider for Advaitam. And the turtle also, it has a very strong shell at the top. And it will be slowly crawling, actually. Not even crawl, like a crawling, okay? Slowly moving. And if this turtle, suppose feels any danger around, immediately, because the shell is so hard, okay? Nothing can really break it. But on the inside, the four legs, and the head and the tail, it will be walking like this. But very, very soft. It feels any danger, it will withdraw. It can withdraw all the, its organs inside the shell and sit quietly inside, well sheltered. Nothing, no harm. It cannot be harmed. So, kurmaha angani, kurmaha, the turtle, angani samharate. There's some prefix now, the dhatu, hru dhatu, very funny dhatu, isn't it? Interesting, look at this. Hru, harati, aharati, viharati, samharati. No? And then here, you can say samharati. You can ahamhati means destroys also. But here, samharate, is not, doesn't destroy here. It just draws inside. Yada kurmaha angani samharate. Kada samharate, when it withdraws its angani, when it feels any danger. It really feels any danger, it can withdraw. Yatha kurmaha angani samharate, tatha jnani also does. When does the kurmaha withdraw its limbs? He says, yada, it understood here, when it feels the danger. Similarly, this jnani also, one who is dependent on one's fullness, he is fullness himself. He is not dependent on X situations for his happiness. But he is, when situations are not desirable externally, understand, it cannot shake. He can just be happy himself. That is what is implied actually speaking. What is implied here is, jnani can just, whatever situation is undesirable, however it is, still he can be happy himself. How? He can withdraw his senses. It means what? He is not dependent on the sense objects for his happiness. He doesn't need to really be in contact with these objects. Well, objects are there or not, still he can just be with himself. Withdraw his, I want to see the person, that person did not come. I want to talk to the person, that person did not call. I could not do this. There's no such thing. Whatever is, this jnani also, objects are there or not, he can withdraw his senses to his mind. He can dissolve his mind in fullness. He can just be himself happy. This is very important because people always misinterpret this verse. We have to be very careful with this verse. You know that jnani also draws his senses. Means what? How does jnani draw his senses back? How can he draw? Jnani has to be, when he sees walking, what is being drawn now? Can you avoid seeing the light? Eyes are open. No, I'm a jnani, so I withdraw my sense power back. So what? It is not drawing back your sense powers, okay? You have to, they're meant for using. You have to use your eyes, you have to go and fall into the pit otherwise. Okay? The eyes are there to be used, you have to use them. I sense seeing power, hearing power, power of smelling, power of taste, everything is given to you. Understand? That means, you can use them, you can enjoy the objects, when they're desirable, they're bonus to you. Undesirable, you withdraw them. Understand? It means what? Still you are happy being yourself. Amazing, isn't it? That's what he says here. When situations are not desirable, then jnani can be do what? He can withdraw his senses from sense objects, means without the objects also, no, he can, why should he allow, no? He, objects also he can be happy, or with objects also, he can, undesirable objects also he can be happy, means he just doesn't allow the mind to dwell upon the objects for his happiness. Understand? He can just be himself. Withdrawing the senses, withdrawing the mind means not being with oneself. Being with oneself means being with one's own swarupam is withdrawing. Once you take attention from here, where is attention? Attention of the mind has to be somewhere. You take attention of the mind from there and focus it on elsewhere. Isn't it? This jnani, he knows what fullness is, he knows the swarupam, he is the world, he is doing everything. If he is not happy, it becomes extra bonus for him. Understand, when situations are undesirable, still he can be happy. All that he needs to do is draw the attention of the mind from senses, thereby draw the senses also from the sense objects. Just be with himself, he happy. Amazing, isn't it? It's very important to know the meaning of this verse. So, kurmaha angani samharate. I am tatha, we have to sit tatha. I am angani, kurmaha angani yatha samharate. Tatha I am jnani api samharate. Jnani also is what now? Happy himself. That's the meaning here. So then he says, how does it be? Indriyani indriya artebhyaha. Indriyani indriya artebhyaha. Indriya artaha means sense object. Indriyana means sense powers. Okay, he draws his senses from sense objects, resolves them in his mind, he resolves the mind in his own swarupam, thereby still his fullness is not affected. Is it clear now, Pitiji? Indriyani, indriya artebhyaha samharate. He takes away his sense powers from the sense objects. Thereby what? Taking away means what? Withdrawing the senses from sense objects means turning the attention of the mind from senses. Turning one's attention from sense objects means turning one's attention off the sense powers. Understand now? Attention from sense powers to the mind, and turning attention from mind to one's own swarupam. It depends upon where your attention is. The attention is on sense objects. Understand now? The mind is what? It's like the turtle allowing its organs out. And the turtle withdrawing his sense limbs inside the shell means, implies what? Jnani turning his attention from sense objects and the sense powers and the mind to his own swarupam. Then once you are with your own swarupam, you are not affected by any situations. Isn't it? That is the meaning. One who can be like, one who can remain state, one who can be like that, one can just be with himself, be by himself, taking the attention from the objects and the sense powers and the mind, and be with oneself, remain unaffected by situations. No, like the turtle withdraws its limbs inside the shell. Now his knowledge is said to be steadfast. Is it clear? So we'll see the bhashya now. Yada samharate iti.
Yada samharate iti.
Yada.
Yada.
Samharate.
Samharate.
Samharate means samyak upasamharate cha. Samyak upasamharate means what? It draws perfectly well. Who? This turtle withdraws all its organs, all its limbs inside the shell. samyak upasamharate. Like this jnani also, jnani's attention has totally becomes withdrawn from sense objects and sense powers. He does not undo anything. Takes only attention away from them. That is possible for a jnani because he knows what fullness is. If you know what it is, you can take attention. If you do not know what is full, how can you take an attention? Isn't it? Jnani knows what fullness is. Jnani knows Swarupam is. As a jnani, because he never loses sight of his Swarupam being fullness, even though he is with objects and all that, jnani can always easily turn attention towards his Swarupam. He is always reveling in fullness only. But still, even situations are not okay also, no, he can withdraw himself. Like what? Like the turtle withdraws its limbs. This turtle has what? A strong, hard shell on the top. That is why it is able to withdraw. Isn't it? Suppose the shell is not there, withdrawal on the part of the turtle doesn't make any sense. Whether you withdraw or you leave it free, so what? Still anybody can come and, you know, make you chutney, isn't it? Walk on it. Because such a soft and then delicate, soft thing. What is the use of this withdrawing? Withdrawal is possible, means the withdrawal is meaningful. One is a hard shell. Okay, unbreakable, hard shell. And where you feel protected. Drawing similarly here also. Hey, the jnani is there everywhere and enjoying any extra pleasure as a bonus pleasure. Understand now? It really doesn't make him really overjoyous or anything. He's just happy. And suppose it is not at all desirable, then jnani does what? The shell is like what? Swarupam. Understand now? Swarupam is fullness. Jnani Swarupam is fullness. That is why jnani, whether he allows the senses to be with the sense organs or sense objects, or he takes the sense powers, withdraws from the objects. Withdrawing the senses from sense objects cannot make one happy. We try to do that. That is what people want to do now. That is why people try to do when they take to liquors and all that. They drink, they smoke, and they do all these things. Why? Because when you're given this drinks means, no, any sedative, drugs, etc. Why? Because you lose yourself for some time. You try to withdraw attention from what? Even the very smallness, okay? Take attention from sense something, then you forget. So really, withdrawing senses or sense objects does not make one happy. You have to be very careful. For which, the withdrawing sense from sense objects really makes meaningful, useful. Now only if one knows from Swarupam being fullness. What is there like a shell, hard shell for the turtle, you know? One's own Swarupam being fullness. Swarupam is fullness, therefore you're not dependent on your happiness for anything extra, understand, anything external, and the situations are not okay. You can withdraw the senses from sense objects and turn attention towards your own Swarupam, you are fullness still. Is it clear now? That's a very important thing. So here he says, samyak upasamharate cha. Upasamharate cha. Ayam jnana nishthayam pravruttaha yatihi. See, jnana nishtayam pravruttaha yatihi means, yatihi is a sannyasi here. Or yatihi also means, yatate iti yatihi. One who has complete mastery over mind. No? Yatana shilaha yatihi, isn't it? Yatana means what? Actually having mastery, actually. Isn't it? So one, he is yatihi. This yatihi, jnana nishtayam pravruttaham, is what? One who is always contemplative. One who contemplative implies what? Even after jnanam also, one who can never miss the swarupam of the atma being fullness is jnana nishtayam pravruttaham. Always he is Now, the mind cannot miss the swarupam of the Atma. That is jnana nishtayam pravruttaha. Such a person, he says here, kurmaha angani eva. Eva means what? Just as. So, to use one eva, you have to use yatha and tatha. Yatha kurmaha angani samharate, tatha, when you want to say, you take away yatha and tatha, use eva. Kurmaha angani eva. What now he says? Kurmaha, yatha kurmaha, bhayat. Bhayat means what? Out of fear, of being destroyed. Now, swani angani, his own limbs, angani, upasamharati, sarvashaha, harati, samharati, upasamharati. Upasamharati means it collects together, withdraws and collects them together means keep them with itself inside the shell. Upasamharaha, okay? It really collects them all together means it withdraws them all together, keeps them together under the shell. Upasamharati. How, where? From all sides, okay? Head from the top and, you know, like again from the back and also four legs. It upasamharati, upasamharati. Collects them together, withdraws. Then, sarvat evam, jnana nishtaha. Jnana nishtaha means what? One who remains steadfast in the knowledge is jnana nishtaha. You can say brahma jnana nishtaha, atma jnana nishtaha, swarupa jnana nishtaha. Jnana nishtaha means one who remains steadfast in knowledge. What do we mean by the word remaining steadfast in knowledge? One whose mind cannot lose sight of the awareness, it's being its own swarupam. Isn't it? See, until you assimilate swarupam of the Atma being awareness, it takes time. This is why contemplation is all the time is required. Once the jnana nishtha takes place, and still attention can be with the objects also, still along with the objects, what you can never miss is what? Awareness, the swarupam, one's own swarupam. That is what is jnana nishtha, jnana nishtaha, isn't it? Jnana nishtaha is the one who cannot lose sight of one's own swarupam being awareness, swarup, one's own self being awareness, swarupam being fullness. Jnana nishtaha, such a person also what he does, indriyani, indriya arthebhyaha, now upasamharati. Indriya arthebhyaha means what? Sarva visheyebhyaha, from all sense objects. Visheyaha means sense object, isn't it? From all objects of knowledge, he can withdraw his senses, upasamharate. Withdrawing one's senses from the sense objects implies consciously taking one's attention of mind away from the sense objects, turning the attention towards one's own swarupam. Turning attention towards one's own swarupam means just being with oneself. When you are yourself, your attention is with yourself means all your, you have resolved the sense objects, sense powers, mind, everything in yourself. You will see the duality empirically in your perception. At the same time, you also see them being mithya. Isn't it? That is what is upasamharate. And tasya prajna pratishthita iti uktartham vakyam. And his knowledge alone is firm. It's a beautiful verse. And actually, it follows actually. Next verse, he says, hey, what big thing? It's not a big thing, okay? Not only jnani can take his senses away from sense objects, ajnani also can take his senses away from sense objects. No? Therefore, he says, na kevalam jnani aturaha. Okay? Aturaha, anaturaha. We have to say this, these two words. So, Shankara next, he raised the question. Say, anaharataha aturaha. Suppose the person, One doesn't need to be even sitting here. If I am very now, if I am worried about something else, and immediately my attention goes off somewhere. I'm here, Swami is sitting and talking. You know, it's a very, very sunny and then very hot day and all that. It's not very pleasant days today. Sometimes you say it's a pleasant day in England, isn't it? Very happy, very bright, sunny day in England.
All of you say that.
Huh? And all that. And then this afternoon time, and then it's like, imagine studying Vedanta at 2 o'clock in India. It's not, okay? No Vedanta classes ever at 2 o'clock. I did the class in India also, did class at 2 o'clock. Never slept in the afternoons and all that. That's why I had class at 2 o'clock, you know. People want fresh morning, early morning times of Vedanta classes. And we did have classes. But we even after coming here, we always had class 2 o'clock and people used to come and then sleeping, they have to listen, they have to sleep also. We had all those classes. And it doesn't matter, something is going, isn't it? sometimes we wake up and sometimes we listen. And things are repeated here. Well, how many times we connect, if we take and transcribe my talk, how much I have repeated here. What is repeated is not important here. What actually is conveyed, no, you have to be with that. Now, what makes a jnani, that is what is important here. Because I am not repeating, Gita is repeating, Shankara is repeating, I have to repeat it. So here, see, anaturaha, no? Even the person who is very, very active and very restless and agitated, who is not a jnani, even for him, taking his attention of senses, no? Senses from sense objects, is easy, it is possible. Isn't it? It does not mean, no? If you become absent here, to think of something else, you are absent here. That's all. What's a big deal? Jnani alone need not take attention from sense objects. Ajnani also can take his attention from sense objects, withdraw. You don't need to do anything. You fall asleep. You have withdrawn your senses from sense objects. Fall asleep. Take 2-3 pills. Fall asleep. No, you are absent. Absent means what? You have put your mind to sleep. Putting your mind to sleep means you have switched off your mind. It does not back up the senses. Our sense powers are withdrawn from the sense objects. Therefore, sense objects are as good as non-existent. This is the difference between jnani and ajnani. Jnani consciously takes his senses away from sense objects. And to be able to take attention away from sense objects, no? And thereby withdraw his sense from sense objects, one needs to know where to place the attention. If you do not know where to place the attention, then it is impossible for you to take the attention away from sense objects. Jnani can easily do that. No way. He knows his swarupam, he knows the truth, he knows the meaning of the word I. Therefore, he can draw the attention of the mind from senses, sense powers. Thereby, he can withdraw the sense powers from sense objects and turn the attention towards his own swarupam. The turning and withdrawing, when I talk, it looks as though it's an action. It is not an action, just by swarupam. Understand? When I say jnani withdraws, turns the attention, when I say it sounds as though some big action is done here. Nothing is effortlessly, just jnani can just be himself. But ajnani also can do withdraw his senses. He has to fall asleep, that's all. Fall asleep. Attention is taken away, senses are taken away from sense objects. Put the mind off. That's all. Therefore, can we say that now? No. Even then, jnani, ajnani can take the senses away from sense objects, but still the lingering desire for objects will be there. I saw something on the road, in the shop, okay, I wanted to buy that, and Rodneyji drove the car fast, I could not see the object anymore, I could take my attention, okay, and then slowly I came to the class, I forgot about it, but still, I think I should go again and to see, I should buy that. It means what? My mind has been taken away from my attention, of the, my senses have been drawn away from the sense objects. Attention of the mind has been taken away from sense object. Because something else is there now. Still, understand now? Still it is there what? Desire for the object is still there. That is the difference. A jnani and an ajnani. Ajnani also can take his senses from sense objects. Draw his sense from sense objects. That means ajnani also can, by taking the attention of the mind, he can take his senses. Jnani also can take it. But ajnani has to place his attention from sense objects to something, some other, one object to other object or something else, or has to put his mind to sleep to take his attention away from sense objects. But still he cannot put his, no, he cannot put a full stop for desires. Listen now. Still the desire for objects will be there. Still desire for objects will be there. Whereas jnani, it is easy for jnani to take attention from any sense objects. Why? Because he is not dependent on the objects for his happiness. Therefore, there is no desire for jnani. His association with sense objects is like what? Like, no, just being with the object itself. There is no desire for objects. Why? Because desire is not possible for a jnani. Desire is not there in a jnani. Why desire is not there? Because needs are not there. Why needs are not there? Because inadequacy is not there. Why inadequacy is not there? Because fullness is swarupa. I got what I'm saying. Is what, so the next shloka comes. Next shloka is, see, indriyani vishyam anaharataha aturasya api indriyani nivartante. The person, see, aharan purushaha means one whose senses are in contact with sense objects, called aharan purushaha. Anaharataha means what? Even the one whose senses are not in contact with sense objects, no, is anaharan purushaha. Even for him, indriyani nivartante, even for him senses come back from, senses become withdrawn from sense objects, like the turtle withdraws its organs, limbs, isn't it? Natu tadvishyaha ragaha, but not the desire for those objects. Saha katham samhriyate iti, how he withdraws his, you know, senses from sense objects, explained in the this verse. See, I tell you one thing. Jnani, ajnani, both can withdraw their attention from sense objects. Withdraw their senses from sense objects. But what is the difference? Jnani, when jnani withdraws his attention from sense objects, when he withdraws his sense organs from sense objects, jnani is free from the hold of desire for sense objects. Whereas ajnani can withdraw his sense from sense objects, but desire for those objects are still there. There is a difference. Jnani cannot have desires, ajnani cannot be free from the hold of desires. Ajnani is helplessly given to desires, jnani is completely free from the hold of desires. That is the difference. No, so how does he withdraw? That is explained in the following verse. We see here. Vishaya vinivartante,
niraharasya dehinaha,
ரசவர்ஜம் ரசோப்யஸ்ய
ரசவர்ஜம்
ரசோப்யஸ்ய பரம் த்ருஷ்ட்வா நிவர்த்ததே
பரம் த்ருஷ்ட்வா நிவர்த்ததே.
இஸ் ரியலி வெரி பியூட்டிஃபுல் வாய்ஸ். விஷயாவினிவர்த்தந்தே
விஷயாவினிவர்த்தந்தே
நிராஹாரஸ்ய தேஹினஹ
நிராஹாரஸ்ய தேஹினஹ
ரஸவர்ஜம் ரஸோப்யஸ்ய
ரஸவர்ஜம் ரஸோப்யஸ்ய
பரம் த்ருஷ்ட்வா நிவர்த்ததே
பரம் த்ருஷ்ட்வா நிவர்த்ததே.
Okay, so here he says vishayaha vinivartante, vishayaha vinivartante, see vartante are, no, nivartante go away, vinivartante means go for good. Understand, go for good means what? Vishayaha, sense objects go away for good. That literally, what does it mean now? Go away for good means the sense objects, na, sense objects cannot cause any temptation in the mind of a jnani. Whatever sense objects are there, they cannot cause any, they cannot tempt the mind of a jnani. Always what happens when you see the object and slowly you see the object, you know about the object, you think of the object, then you develop desire for object, then you become attachment for the object, then you want to possess the object, you want to own the object. This is how things, you know, the desire always develops. How desire comes into being, you know, this is a nice thing. But here, this var nirahara, you know, this, he says, vishayaha vinivartante, vinivartante, the real means, all the sense objects really go away from a jnani means what? They do not really tempt. They cannot tempt the mind of a jnani. Vishayaha vinivartante. Cannot tempt them, do not tempt them at all. Understand? Vinivartante. Why? Because, he says, nirahārasya dehinaha. Nirahāraha dehi. This person, the jnani, no, he is a nirahāraha. Nirahāraha means what? Sahāraha means one who has food is saharaha. Understand now? Saharaha, saharaha. But niraharaha means what? One who does not have food. That means, niraharaha means one who does not depend upon sense objects or the perception of sense objects or the objects, possession of objects or enjoyment of objects for one's happiness is what? Just he sees the objects, that's all. The senses are open, senses perceive the sense objects, but perception of sense objects do not create any chemical reaction in this person. That means what? Does not really, do not cause any problem in the mind of a person. Why? Because nothing can happen here. No? Okay, I see the light, I see that, I see these things, everything, things are seen, things are heard, things are seen, things are smelled, things are tasted, things are everything, whatever is there. Sense objects or senses do come in contact with the sense objects. But still, vishayaha vinivartante, no objects of, you know, they become insipid for the jnani's mind. Why? Because the jnani's mind cannot be really moved, tempted by any of the objects. Why? Because nothing is tasted. Nothing is enjoyed. That means what? What do we mean by not nothing is enjoyed here? Enjoyed means they're just seen, objects are perceived, but really speaking, those objects are really not desired by the jnani. What do we mean by being a nirahari? Perceiving the objects but still not being affected by or tempted by the objects means not being dependent on the objects for one's comfort or for one's happiness. Understand now? Then you are what now? Niraharasya dehi. Therefore what now? He is not dependent on the objects for his happiness. Therefore, evil objects are perceived, they cannot cause any change in the person's mind. Niraharasya dehinaha vishayaha vinivartante. They cannot even enter. The object is seen, for the object to be the seen object, tasted object, smelt object, you know, that object, what are we entering into the mind? Where do the objects enter? Objects do not enter in a gross form, okay? Objects always enter into one's mind in the form of a desire. I want that. That is what now? I has entered. Your entry, okay? Listen, I want that means what? Object has gone into your mind. It is not outside anymore. But whereas for a jnani, no object enters into the mind. That means what? They remain always outside. That means there's no desire arises for a jnani for any object. Is it clear now? No desire arises. Why desire does not arise? Now, desire is not there. Desire is not there at all. There must be some desire, then objects can go into the. If there is such a thing called a desire in the mind, rasaha is there, the lingering taste, you know, the desire is there, then the object can enter into the mind. Even that there is no such a phenomenon called a desire in the mind of a jnani. Desire itself is not there, then desire for something, how can be there? You know, the very desire is not there. There must be something called a desire, then desire for something is possible. The desire itself is not there means desire for something is not possible. Why? Because desire is not there because the jnani is free from needs. He does not have any need to be fulfilled. Why no needs are there? Because jnani is completely free from sense of being inadequate. Jnani does not think, I am an inadequate being. Why he is free from sense of this inadequacy? Because he does not have identity only with the body, mind, sense complex. Why? Because his identity is with Aham Brahma. Understand now? I, the meaning of the word I is reality. Therefore, that reality has the nature of fullness. The one who has identity with the reality, not with the body, mind, is complex. Such a person, we say here, what now? He is one who revels in fullness. For the person who knows the truth, who knows the self, who knows the sarupam of self being fullness, one who revels in fullness, there cannot be inadequacy. No, that person is a jnani, but still he also has some inadequacy problem. That means it is like saying it is so hot, no, the bright sun here, look at how dark it is. Can you say that? I can say sofa is black in color, but I cannot say there's also darkness. No, I do see in this, it is very cold one side and it's a hot other side. Can you say this? I can't say, they both cannot. No, viruddha dharma, understand now, the things of two opposite attributes cannot coexist. Fullness and the inadequacy cannot coexist. If there is inadequacy, there is a problem with discovering fullness. The fullness has not yet been ascertained as one's own surupam. There is no warning upon fullness still. Understand? Still fullness is something unknown. If there is fullness, and definitely, there cannot be inadequacy. Where is fullness? Where there is knowledge. Of what? The self. So what is fullness? Inseparable, intrinsic nature of the self. How do you know? That is the only reality. Self being the reality must be very clear. And the reality is of the nature of fullness. Isn't it? Self and reality are not two different things. Therefore, one who knows the self knows the reality. One who knows the reality knows what fullness is. Fullness being the very intrinsic sorupam. And one who knows fullness, wherein one has knowing, reveling in sorupam fullness. Sorupam of fullness means having resolved one's identity. The problem of smallness being centered on I has been resolved. That is what is reveling in fullness actually, isn't it? Without resolving this problem, there is no... In terms of knowledge, you resolve it. Then, understand, in terms of not physically, what can I resolve here? In terms of knowledge, resolve it means, where there is fullness, there is no sense of inadequacy. Where there is no inadequacy, there is no, understand, dependence. There are no needs. There is no desires. Naturally, desire is not there. There is no such a phenomenon called desire. Where there is no desire, how can there be desire for something? So desire is not there means desire for an object is not possible. Therefore, vishayaha vinivartante. Why? Niraharaha. If something, if something goes in, then asahari means what? Then vishayaha na nivartante. Vishayaha vartante, isn't it? They never go away. Objects are seen, objects remain where they are. They don't enter. Vinivartante. Even if they try to come inside, then what happened? Rasaha api rasavarjam. Rasaha api, rasaha api rasavarjam asya param drishtva nivartate. Asya param. Seeing its sarupam of asya param means seeing one's own sarupam. What is sarupam? Fullness. There, rasaha api, even the lingering desire resolves. Okay, even the lingering desire, having seen the sarupam of the self, there what now? Rasaha api, rasavarjam. Rasaha api, rasavarjam. Param drishtva rasaha api rasavarjam nivartate. Desire also what now? Seeing the sarupam of fullness, there it resolves, it goes away. It means there is no taste for anything. All that this verse tries to say is, see, any attachment, any desire, objects being tempted by sense objects and now then working on fulfilling those desires. All these are possible only if there is such a thing called a desire. So, they can't even enter. Even if they enter, they return. Vinivartante, they return for good. They don't think of coming again. Vartante, nivartante, go away. Vinivartante, go away for good means they return for good. Why? There must be some desire, no? Rasaha api. Even the desire again, what happens? There is no desire for objects. Therefore, objects return for good. And desire is not there. Objects return for good because there is no such thing called desire. Desire also disappears. Seeing what? The fullness. Desirelessness is the nature of the Atma. Desirelessness implies what? Fullness. Desirelessness implies what? Fullness. Seeing the fullness in desire also resolves in fullness. Have you got it now? Drishtva nivartate. He says here, that is what he explained. Actually, the 59th verse is an explanation for the previous mantra. How does a jnani withdraw his sense from sense objects? That is explained here. He really speaking does not withdraw any doesn't, there's not any effortful action or anything. Even though we talk about withdrawal and all those things, it just says no object, sense object ever enters into the mind of a jnani. Any object perceived also return for good from the jnani. Why? Because there is no such thing called desire at all in the jnani. There's something called desire is there. Then object can enter into one's mind. There is no desire. And not only, even the object, the desire also is what now? Resolves seeing its own param. In fullness, desire resolves. Rasaha api rasa varjam asya param drishtva nivartate. यद्यपि विषयाः विषय उपलक्षितानि विषयशब्दवाच्यानि इन्द्रियाणि अथवा विषयाः एव. इवन् दो हि विषयाः विनिवर्तन्ते निराहारस्य देहिनः, इवन् दो दि सेन्स् दि विषयाः विषय उपलक्षितानि विषयशब्दवाच्यानि इन्द्रियाणि अथवा विषयाः एव. इवन् दो दि वर्ड् विषयाः मीन्स् सेन्सस् आर् दि सेन्स् आब्जेक्ट्स् senses are the sense objects, whatever it is. Niraharasya, niraharaha means what? One who does not eat food is niraharaha. Raddij is niraharaha. Okay, doesn't eat, I hardly see him eating. Okay, niraharaha means one who does not eat any food at all is niraharaha. And then niraharasya means what here? Anahriyamana vishayasya kashte काष्ट तपसि स्थितस्य मूर्खस्य अपि विनिवर्तन्ते. इजेस् अनाह्रियमाण विषयस्य कष्टे, सी आह्रियमाण मीन्स् दट् विच् इस् बीङ्ग् टेकन् इन्, अनाह्रियमाण मीन्स् दट् विच् इस् नाट् टेकन् इन्. नो विषयस्य कष्टे तपसि स्थितस्य मूर्खस्य अपि विनिवर्तन्ते. देहिनः देहवर्तः देहवतः. रसवर्जम् रसः रागः विषयेषु यम् तम् वर्जयित्वा. सो वाट् ही सेज़्, ईवन् फार् अ पर्सन् नो, ईवन् फार् अ फूल् एक्चुलि नो रियलि डिज़ैर् फार् दि आब्जेक्ट्स् आब्जेक्ट् समटैम्स् गो रिटर्न् फ्रम् दि मैण्ड् आफ् इवन् अ even an ordinary person, an ordinary fool also, my objects can go away from him. What does it mean? Even Ajnani can take his mind away from sense objects, the sense objects go away, isn't it? If you fall asleep, sense objects disappear here. They go away from you. They can't enter into you. For the sense objects to enter into you, they need your attention. They must be perceived, isn't it? So, then senses are not perceived. Perception is called ahara, taking in. Non-perception is what? Anahara. Isn't it? Even for a person who is not jnani, for him also, the attention of the mind is taken away from sense objects. It's not perceived. Isn't it? Not perceived. So here he says, and dehinah means one who has body is the dehavan. Any human being, even an ordinary person, can take his mind away from sense objects. Then attention is taken means sense objects cannot really be perceived, cannot go into the mind, cannot cause any desire for objects. When can a desire arise for an object? Only the object is perceived, object is known, there is possibility of developing desire for objects. Can you ever have desire for an unknown object? We do not know what Swarga is, okay? And Shastram talk about Swarga so much. And then, my God, even then, I have some indirect knowledge of Swarga. Like even this Maya was saying, some of the friends who've been cruised to Alaska, they come back and described, and I haven't got a clue about what Alaska is all about. But still, because of having heard the description of that so much, I have clue now. Some clue, some idea, then, oh, why should I not go one day? Okay? This is called desire. Desire is always possible for something known, either seen or heard, either through hearing or through seeing or through smelling or through tasting or through touch, somewhere into any of the senses. Now I perceive objects, then I have a knowledge of some object. Then only then desire for an object can arise. If there is no perception, the object is not perceived, it is not known, it's impossible, no desire is possible for an unknown object. Isn't it? Therefore he says, Dehavataha, and here not only an ajnani, even ajnani, an ordinary person also, he can just take away his mind when he is, you know, then he can just be without, turned attention from objects, he can become nirahari, he can be free from objects, isn't it? That's possible. But here, but rasavarjam, but what happens? Rasavarjam means rasaha, ragaha, vishayeshu. But even the lingering taste for objects, desire for objects cannot, no? One cannot undo the desire for objects. Isn't it? One can withdraw one's mind from sense objects, but one cannot undo the desire for objects. And what is said in this area, Pitiji? Is it clear now? What he says, kashte tapasi sthitasya murkasya api. When he really, when these difficulties are there, tapasi sthitaha, okay, I'm not going to really see these objects, I'm not going to get these objects, I'm not going to have a desire for objects. You such a person, na tapasi, okay, with the firm, he makes up his mind, I'm not going to buy those things. I'm not going to buy those things. Like that, now we also make some sometimes commitments, no? Is we also make such things, this is called vairagya sometimes. I'm not going to have it. I want to drink coffee, but I'm not going to drink coffee. No? That means what? So I don't really shun myself from enjoying the sense object called coffee. Isn't it? But still, can I say I have no desire for coffee? I may stop myself from enjoying this sense object in the form of coffee, but I cannot say I have no desire for coffee. I have taken my attention away from sense object in the form of coffee. Now my mind is not in coffee, does not think of, I may, because of my effort, because of my difficult effort, really firm effort, I take my attention away from coffee, the flavor, the smell, the taste. No, I don't think of the anything. Understand? I take my attention totally away from coffee because I decided not to have coffee. But the desire for coffee is still there. Record rasaha. Understand now? Lingering taste for desire. Still the desire for object is there. Even a fool can take one's mind away from sense objects. But the ordinary person also can, an ajnani also, who's not enjoying the sense objects, can take his mind away from the sense objects, withdraw his mind from sense objects, but still ragaha is there. Rasaha is there. Clear. Whereas for a jnani, rasaha also is not there. Why? Rasa varjaha is the swarupam. So he is going to say here, vishayeshu, okay? Vishayeshu ragaha, the attachment to the sense objects is still there. Without attachment he can be there. He says, rasa shabdaha rage prasiddaha swarasena pravruttaha rasikaha rasajnaha ityadi darshanat. He says the word rasaha Shankara means here as ragaha, attachment. The word rasaha means what? Attachment here. He means attachment. So rasaha are the desire or, you know, attachment, passion, desire, attachment, all these are meant by the word ragaha here. So he rasaha here. So rasaha api ranjana rupaha sukshmaha asya yatehe param paramartha tattvam brahma drishtva upalabhya ahameva tat iti vartamanasya nivartate nirbijam vishaya vijnanam sampadyate ityartha. See, nirbijam vishyavijnanam. Now, there is no seed of desire in the mind of a jnani. Why? Because the desire also is not there. The sense of this resolve, because the desire is resolved. What happened to the desire? Because the desire is not there, because it's fullness. Desire is not there at all, therefore there is fullness. Where there is fullness, there cannot be desire. No? He says here, why? Yatehe param paramartha tattvam. Paramartha tattvam. What is paramartha tattvam here? The swarupam, isn't it? Swarupam is the param parama, absolute swarupam. Parama artha tattvam. The truth of an absolute truth. Paramatattvam is absolute truth actually. Absolute reality. Param paramatattvam. What is paramatattvam here? The limitlessness. Okay? Limitlessness, the reality. Seeing the truth of itself, the desire also resolves there. Seeing the truth, where there is vision of truth, there cannot be desire. Paramatattvam, Brahma, limit, no? Seeing the reality, seeing, understand the reality and the, knowing the swarupam of limitlessness here, drishtva, having seen, upalabhya, having gained that vision, ahameva tat iti vartamanasya, I the self am that reality. Ahameva tat. What is tat here? Paramartha tattvam, the absolute reality is Brahman. That Brahman, ahameva. Aham Brahma. What is the meaning of the word I? Not the body, not the mind, not the senses, not everything. You have resolved as objects of knowledge. And where can you place I now? I place I as the knower. And where is the knower? A knower is pure knowledge. What is this pure knowledge? That is what is Brahman. What is the swarupam? Limitlessness. Okay? And one who knows that Brahman, the absolute reality, as the self, as the meaning of the word I, aham eva tad brahma iti, you know, paramatattvam iti, one who knows, seeing for such a jnani, vartamanasya, iti vartamanasya, for the one who is knowing, one who is there, as what? I am that, I the self, I am the awareness, the Brahman. One who is there like that, for such a person, nirbijam nivartate. Nirbijam means what? Without leaving even a seed means what? There is no tinge of desire. For the desire to arise, there is a seed, no? The seed of desire also is not there. Nirbijam nivartate. Vishaya vijnanam sampadyate ityartaha. Nirbijam vishaya vijnanam means he knows the nature of every object, the swarupam of every object being only reality. That reality is, you know, is Brahman, and I am that Brahman, one who knows, for him, nirbijam nivartate. Listen now, without any leaving behind any seed, the desire just resolves, goes away. Therefore, that means vishyavijnanam sampadyate, vartamanasya nivartate, nirbijam, vishyavijnanam sampadyate. Nirbijam vishyavijnanam sampadyate means there is no such thing called desire for any object. Na asati samyak darshane rasasya uchedaha. What he says, asati means in something which is mithya. Okay, samyak darshane rasasya uchedaha. See, desire cannot be there. Desire itself is what? Mithya. The mithya desire itself resolves in sat darshanam. Okay, in the nature of, in the vision of the truth, we resolve everything as mithya. Desire also becomes what? Resolved as mithya. Then you do not see anything, there is no satyam other than Brahman, the self, and everything else is what? Mithya. in that vision, that is why, having seen the truth of everything, truth of the very desire also, understand now, then what happens? Desire cannot arise. Desire is possible for something only when there is a culmination of desire, in fact. Desire culminates in what? In having vision of its own Swarupa. Isn't it? Therefore he says, asati na asati, samyak darshane, asati samyak darshane, rasasya uchedaha. If you do not see the mithyatvam of the mithyatvam of things properly, then it is not possible for you to undo the desire. Rasasya uchedaha na bhavati. Now, see, you can never undo desires. This is what a problem. People always see, Shastram tells so beautifully here. Rasasya uchedaha, understand now, the undoing of desire is impossible if there is no samyak darshan, na asati samyak, na adha samyak darshani. If you do not see what is mithya very clearly, then, understand, then it is not possible for you to be free from the hold of desire. If you see the samyak darshanam is what? When the mithya being, mithya is very clearly understood, for which implies your understanding of the paramartha tattvam, understanding of the reality as one's own self. The reality, the Brahman, the paramatattvam Brahman is actually the meaning of the word I. When you understand aham tad brahma asmi, when you understand in that vision, you see the proper, you see the mithyatvam, how everything other than Brahman is mithya. When you understand, then rasasya uchedaha, understand now, then desire can be resolved. Why? Jnani is able to resolve his desires. That is what I am saying. Without any effort, without trying to undo the desires, Jnani is able to resolve his desires. That is what is the teaching here. Main teaching. Tasmat, therefore. Now what is the conclusion now? What do we need to know? One sentence you have to understand now. What whole teaching is only one sentence is the teaching. Tasmat, therefore what? It says here. Samyak darshana, okay, samyak darshanatmikayaha prajnayaha sthairyam kartavyam iti abhiprayaha. Samyak darshanatmikayaha prajnayaha means what? The firm knowledge. Prajna means knowledge. No? Prajna means knowledge. What knowledge here? Samyak darshanatmika prajna means the knowledge which has been ascertained with the proper vision of the truth being Brahman, self being Brahman. By the proper vision of the self being Brahman, when it is ascertained, with the proper ascertained vision of the self being Brahman, then sthairyam kartavyam, it has to be made firm. Understand? It has made firm. Therefore, it is very important to have, for one to have firm knowledge of the self being Brahman. This is the actual translation, okay? It is very important for one to have the firm knowledge of the self being Brahman. In that vision of self being Brahman alone, the desire, everything, anything other than Brahman being mithya can be understood, they can be resolved, then desire also will be resolved for good. Where desire is not there, then no, it is easy for a jnani to withdraw one's senses from sense objects because there is no desire. An ajnani also can withdraw his sense from sense objects, but not he cannot undo the desire for objects in his mind. Physically you can turn attention from that object, but your mind is still there in the object. Mind being not taken away from sense objects implies one's having desire for objects, isn't it? See the literal meaning. Jnani withdraw his senses from the sense objects means it is a literal, it's a physical action, isn't it? You see something, you take your attention from that thing. This is what? Anybody can do that. Najnani also can do, Jnani also can do. But what is the difference? You physically turn attention from sense objects. Withdraws from the sense objects. But for a Jnani, in the mind does not carry the desire for those objects. But Najnani carries desire for those objects. Why? Because the very desire is not there for a Jnani. For a Jnani, desire cannot be, it is not possible for a Jnani to resolve the desire. For a Jnani, desire cannot be there. Why? Because rasaha api rasavarjam nivartate. The desire itself goes away because the desire itself becomes what? Desire goes away from the person seeing his param drishtva, paramartha tattvam drishtva. What is paramartha tattvam? The absolute reality is paramartha tattvam. What absolute reality? Brahman. What is that Brahman? Which is the nature of limitlessness, fullness and happiness. And what that Brahman is? Aham tad brahma asmi iti vartamanasya. The one who is knowing that I am that Brahman, I myself am that Brahman. For such a person, now every other Brahman is mithya. Now one who sees the mithyatam of other things, one who resolves everything in the satyam brahma, for such a person alone revels in fullness. There cannot be such a thing for desire in the mind of a jnani. Therefore, it is easy for him to take the senses. Inspirations are not okay. It is easy for him to take the senses from sense objects. Just having resolved his disease also, now he can just be happy himself. Isn't it? So, Shastram is so beautifully saying, you cannot undo your desires, but you can resolve your desires. For the one who has resolved his desires as mithya, then objects cannot do any harm to the person. Cannot harm means what? Objects cannot be an objects of pain or objects of pleasure. We always say objects means what? Anything perceived, known, heard, things associated with, contacted, mixed with, interacted with, becomes what? Objects of senses, isn't it? Those sense objects cannot be the sources of pleasures or pains, cannot cause or bring about any pain or pleasure for a jnani, for the one who has resolved his desires. Who is the one who can resolve his desires? One who has known the one has discovered fullness as the sarupam of the Brahman, which is one's own self. Otherwise, it is not possible to resolve the desires. If without having resolved one's desires, how much are you try to take attention away from the objects, that does not mean you are okay. That helps you to undo your problems. Merely taking attention of mind, from the sense objects, there will be withdrawn from the sense objects, does not help one get rid of sorrow, does not help one overcome situations. Then you will be a victim of everything. Interaction is a problem, association is a problem, contact is a problem, mixing is a problem. Sometimes not mixing also is a problem. We are dependent, isn't it? Being part of something is a problem. Not being part of something also is a problem. Because it's all dependent. It's all emotional entanglement. Having this is, everything. Objects can do any problem, anything. Can be source of what? Objects of pleasures or objects of pains. Obviously, you think objects, really speaking, no object is a source of pain or source of pleasure. Object is only instrumental, nimittam for the pain or pleasure to be triggered. Situation become only nimittam for the pain or pleasure to surface. This is state of mind. Object or situation becomes what? A nimittam, instrumental, to trigger the pain, a state of mind, or pleasure, a state of mind, understand now, to surface. And you mistake the object for a source of pleasure, or you mistake the object for cause of your unhappiness. Really speaking, objects are not responsible for your pains and pleasures. They only serve as nimittam. And they also what now? Come and see, they can enter into your mind. And even if you forcefully, the murkha says, he says, the murkha means what? One who controls, tries to control his desire. I'm going to give up. Shankara says murkha. He's a fool. One who is trying to control his desire is a murkha. You know that? How can you control? But take, I'm not going to see that. Once if I see, I have a desire, and I do not see that. You can take your senses from away from sense objects, but inside still what? Desire will be there. Now even I have no desire also. No, I don't have any desire for that. In that pressure, if you try to give desire for something, there will be desire for something else. Still, the root of desire is still the bijam for the desire is there. As long as there is a little lingering, okay? As long as there is the bijam, seed of desire is sitting there in the form of ignorance, inadequacy, isn't it? And needs, desire is very much there, in the form of seed. It can start sprouting anytime, very healthy sprouting, okay? Shoots up like anything. It doesn't make one really. The nirbijam, it never goes. And he says, whereas for the one who remains as what? Remains one who knows the paramartha tattvam is Brahman, the absolute reality is Brahman, and I the self am the Brahman, the paramartha, absolute, no, Brahman, which is of limitlessness. For such a person, other than that Brahman, everything else will be mithya. And he understands, no, mithya, when he understands everything being mithya, then there his desire also resolves. Desire becomes resolved. Don't make vain efforts to undo your desires. Don't make vain efforts to undo your anger. Don't make vain efforts to undo your attachment. Don't make any efforts. Any effort you make to undo them will be vain strain. Vain really. Waste. But better, because they all, desire resolves means bhaya, raga, krodha, all of them will be resolved. For which paramartha tattvam is Brahman, aham tat brahma iti vartamanasya eva. Only for such a person nirbijam rasaha nivartate. Understand? Without any seed, the desire returns for good. That means desire resolves. Therefore, better know the truth, be free from the hold of desires, and be independent of sense objects for your happiness. Then you are not murkaha, you are buddhiman, jnani. Read the verse actually. Vishaya vinivartante, nirahārasya dehinaha,
ரசவர்ஜம் ரசோப்யஸ்ய ரசவர்ஜம் ரசோப்யஸ்ய பரம் திருஷ்ட்வா நிவர்த்ததே
சி
பரம் திருஷ்ட்வா ரசஹா நிவர்த்ததே தட்ஸ் ஆல் யூ ஹேவ் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் பரம் திருஷ்ட்வா ரசஹா நிவர்த்ததே ஹேவிங் சீன் தி ஸ்வரூபம் ஹேவிங் சீன் தி Now, vision of this person, the desire resolves. Which person of what vision? The person of the vision of Brahman as the self. Aham tat Brahma. Paramartha tattvam Brahma ahamasmi iti vartamanasya rasaha vinivartate. Nirbijam vinivartate. Understand? It resolves by itself. Then that thacha person, it is easy for him to withdraw his senses from sense objects and be with himself like a kurma. Okay, he has what now? Strong shell on his on him, which is his own sorupam. Yeah.
Introducing these verses, you said, with this description of the sthita pragna, is to inspire one to follow his example.
Yeah.
Now over here then he's saying, look, it's a murkha. Don't be a murkha. You can't do this. No.
Murkha, he does not say don't be a murkha. Because what he says, Pitiji, even a murkha can withdraw his sense. What about a jnani? Why not a jnani? It's nothing for a jnani to withdraw his senses from sense objects. So to remain unaffected by the sense objects, not to be victimized by the position of the sense objects. Understand now? As a source of, not to be affected by sense objects, but tempted or any, affected by sense objects. Not only the jnani, Ajnani, even Ajnani can do that. That's what he says. But what is the difference here? Why he explains here? How is it possible for him to just without his senses from sense objects, just to be able to be with himself? Or how is it possible? When nothing else is there to keep you company, you will go mad. You need something or other to keep you company. You want nobody at home. I'm all alone by myself. Are you all alone by yourself? You are never all alone by yourself. You are with the TV, you are with the book, you are with the writing, you are with the phone, you are something. You are never all alone by yourself. You feel lonely. You are never all alone by yourself. We say, we use this expression, all alone by myself. If you are alone, that's a very happy, good news, good thing, isn't it? You are not alone. You are always with something. In fact, you not only are with something, you also feel lonely. Isn't it? Feeling lonely. That means what? Oh, that means you are not really happy. Feeling lonely implies you are being dependent on some company. For your happiness and for your joy, for your things, isn't it? For situations. Now TV is really a good company. Why are you alone by yourself? You are with the serial, not TV serial, you are with the book, you are with the phone, you are with talking to somebody on the phone, you are with the reading, you are with the writing, you are with some work at least. You are alone physically, you are alone by yourself, but you are with some action or the other. Where is your mind? The mind always has a company. Understand now? Mind is engaged, mind being engaged in something or the other is what? Mind enjoying the company. Isn't it? That is what is we say mind being emotionally entangled with something. It needs to be with entangled with something, then it is okay. You don't feel lonely. And nothing is there to keep you company, then you feel what? Lonely, isn't it? So what here he wants to say is, a jnani, be a jnani means, how is it possible for a jnani easily, he can just, nothing is there to keep him busy, jnani without, he can take the senses away from sense objects means, jnani can be happy just by himself, without the company of anything. That's what he is trying to say. But then we can say, oh, without the company of anything, jnani can be happy means, even ajnani also can be without any company. That's not true. Ajnani only physically takes his sense away from sense objects, but still, there's a desire for objects is still there in ajnani. Because desire cannot be resolved by an ajnani. Why? Because he does not know the paramartha tattva. Whereas a jnani knows the paramartha tattva, thereby it is natural for him, effortless for him, just to be by himself, to be with himself, and just be, you know, revel in his own sarupam of fullness and happiness. Therefore, what this verse says is, this is how jnani is happy. So you also can try to be happy by being yourself. You also make efforts to know the self. That is what I am saying.
So it's not saying that there is any particular value in an ajnani withdrawing the pursuit of forcing, turning away the senses. Is there any value in that practice?
No. What he says, until jnanam takes place, whatever deliberately you try to take away also, still you have to understand. You can taking simply attention from the mind from senses is not enough. It is very important for one to resolve the desire, to manage one's desire.
But is there any value in that practice of taking away desire?
No. It doesn't say that ajnana should take away like him. It only says mechanically taking away senses is of no use, but ajnani should try to know the truth. That's what the value here. All the effort is better know the truth. You know, there's no value such. No. Ajnani. See, ajnani, when one who as a one who wants to know the truth, ajnani can make efforts to do that. Okay, that is a different context. Ajnani also is trying to take your attention, knowing how the limitations, objects are limitations, there is no real happiness. We understand the object matter of Shastram. Ajnani also is managing to, slowly he is also making efforts to be with it. It's called managing disease, not being free from the hold of disease.
So sometimes.
Yeah. Ajnani trying to do means ajnani managing one's desires. Trying to manage disease, involves effort. Whereas the jnani effortlessly does that. He feels free from the hold of disease. Rajnani is trying to manage his desires, isn't it? But here, yes, we say here, all that is still desire is not that easy to undo the desire. Desire will be there. And as long as there's desire, and you become really affected by the sense objects, you can't help. Actually, next two verses is going to come. What is the reason for anger to be there? Why there is anger? Why there is desire? The next two verses are different. Even though it's the Pragya Lakshana Pitaji, because next two verses are different now.
The mind dwells on the objects.
How it is possible now, how it is important for one to take one's mind now sort of away from sense objects. Now how it's a it's a practice. Najnani can practice that helps one to manage one's disease. It will undo the disease. But while managing the disease, you also prepare your mind for jnanam. Isn't it? If you don't manage a disease, and there's no way of having the vision of the truth, there's no way of freeing free from the hold of disease for good.